Welcome to Wise and Nice, a true crime podcast with your hosts
Danny Armstrong
and Kelly Lee.
Please remember that we mean no disrespect to anyone mentioned in this episode or across any of the Wise and Nice platforms. We have an interest in true crime and related topics, and whilst we may offer our own personal views on certain items, it is meant to be educational and as light-hearted as possible. The information we present is collated from research gathered from the internet, and we reference and credit our sources wherever possible.
If you've liked what you've heard and want to join in with us, follow us on our socials, Instagram, Wives and Knives the Pod, Twitter, at Knives Wives, and Facebook, Wives and Knives Pod. We also have a little website where we post photographs and other information about the cases that we research. And this is wivesandknives.wixsite.com/my site. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Wives and Knives.
Yes, hello everybody.
I hope you're all keeping well and have been enjoying this long bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I hope everyone's had a good time, whatever they've been doing.
Yeah, definitely. So this week is just like a mini, just some recommendations of things vaguely true crime related or stuff we've been enjoying.
Yeah, should we do a little catch up or do you want to get straight into it?
Oh yeah, we can do a little catch up. How have you been, Kelly?
Yeah, I've been good, thanks. I don't really have much to catch up on, to be fair. All I was going to mention was the music in the park that I went to. It was really good sort of 80s music festival. Really nice, well organised. I got to see T'Pau with the beautiful Carole Decker. My husband is absolutely in love with Carole Decker, and after her set had finished, he just like sat down and just went, "Oh, you glorious ginger goddess." So I think he enjoyed it. I saw Go West and Pat Sharp was DJing. So yeah, it was tremendous fun, actually. Really enjoyed it. Only sort of negative was the bloody British weather. And I was talking to you about this pre-starting recording, and it was just like raining in the morning, but then by the afternoon I was burning, so I have like one very red arm.
Oh
yeah. But no, it was really nice. Yeah, I think that's about it. It was supposed to be going to a picnic later, but once again, the weather looks to be hampering my plans because it's just started raining.
Oh, yeah, it's just started raining.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it from me. What about yourself? What have you been up to over the Jubilee weekend?
Oh, I've not done anything like wildly exciting. I've been to a festival, been to the park, done some gardening. But I'll tell you what, I've had such a good time. And I think it's all compounded by the fact that bank holidays are still a fucking novelty to me.
I was going to say, you really enjoy them now, don't you?
Oh, I'm like, I'm just so happy about it. So I worked in retail from like university age until I was 31, and I don't think I'd ever experienced a bank holiday in that. Like, I very rarely got a full weekend, so weekends have been a bit of a novelty since I've switched to like a nice little officey 9-to-5, but bank holidays are out of this world. Everyone's so happy, it's lovely. But I'm like, I was in Lidl Saturday buying stuff for a picnic, and this lady, the lady that was working there, she's dead nice, it's my local Lidl, and she was like, "Oh, are you enjoying the bank holiday weekend?" I was like, "So much." It's so good. I've had a lie-in, I had a nap. She was like, "Oh, it sounds really nice." And I'm like, "I'm so sorry you don't get to experience this." And I was like, "I worked in retail, I know what it's like." I think she was just like, "Fuck, it's fine, pack your stuff." But I was like, "Oh my God." Because, bank holidays weren't really a thing at all. So, and like the place that I worked for, like, never shut. So just like Christmas Day, and that was it. So, and New Year's Day. But yeah, so having like 4 days off or 3 days off in a row, it's like, ooh, a mini holiday. And I appreciate it so much. And I feel really lucky that I'm not working. So yeah, I think having a like an officey job, it might not be like the most glamorous, but fucking hell, it has its perks.
Definitely. I think like you become complacent about bank holidays when you're so used to having them. Like it's still a bonus, but like I totally understand working in retail, and when you work all the holidays, you know, like you fully appreciate them when you get them.
Oh yeah, when I had Christmas off, it was the first Christmas where I'd had more than like 2 days off in a row. And yeah, it was amazing. Aww. So it made me feel like a child again. I was so giddy. So yeah, I'm really appreciating that. Anyway, I feel like I've got too much enthusiasm about certain things, and bank holidays is one of them. Although I've got to say, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want to go and do stuff, because I feel like everyone is doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm quite happy to just like pot around the garden and like do things locally. So it might be busy, but I love it. Okay, so shall I start with my first recommendation?
Yeah, go for it.
So it's a Netflix series called Stay Close. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I've not watched it yet.
Okay, so
sell it to me.
Well, I'll give you an honest review. I enjoyed it. It has proper mixed reviews, and the people who are disliking it are saying like, it's so unbelievable and so unrealistic. And you know what? I don't disagree with them. But I went into it thinking I wouldn't like it because I'd read loads of these negative reviews that had said like, oh, it's so unbelievable. And I was like, oh, I'll just put it on. Proper got into it. I don't care that it's unbelievable. It was still a really good story. And I enjoyed sort of the twists and turns, and I think it was 8 episodes, but yeah, it flew by because I was enjoying it so much. It is a Harlan Coben story. So if you don't know, Harlan Coben is an American writer. He writes like psychological sort of thriller mystery things. He's got 33 novels and 7 have been made into Netflix shows. And I think he's got rights on like another 7 to be made into Netflix shows. So you very well might have seen something by him anyway. And I think you have.
Yeah, I was going to say, I particularly like Harlan Coben. I particularly like his books. I don't think I've read this one, though.
Well, yeah. Safe and The Stranger have also been made into Netflix series.
Yes.
That I liked. So this one is, just to give you like a quick overview, it's very, it's got a sort of like your archetypal character. So there's a lady called Megan who's like bit of a sort of soccer mum. So they live in like this fictional area called Livingstone, that's meant to be like set up north in the UK. And I freaking loved the scenery in it because it's filmed a lot in Blackpool. You know, Blackpool's got a special place in my heart, but like bits in Southport, bits in Bristol. So I was spotting loads of places that I know, which I really enjoyed. Some near Warrington as well. And this place that they've like amalgamated all these real places together, it was dead funny because they'd be like in Warrington and I'd recognise it as Warrington. And then it would be like 5 minutes and they're at North Pier in Blackpool. And I'm like, that's... but I really enjoy seeing places that I know on the screen. Anyway, so this mum, Megan, lives in that area and her role when she's like introduced to you is very much defined as mum and like looking after her children, and she's married to this guy. Oh no, she's getting married to this guy called Dave, who she's been with for ages. They're his kids, they've just not got married yet, and it's all like pretty happy. And then there's a guy called Ray who used to be like a really talented, like well-respected documentary photographer, but now he is working as like a paparazzi for hire job and getting paid by like really rich kids to take photos of them to make it look like they're famous. Like the kind of people who'd get hired on My Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe. And then there's obviously you're like a detective that's haunted by a cold case from his past. Because, you know, classic. And all of their three lives are sort of brought together when a man goes missing from the local area, and it's connected to a case, I think, 12 years before, and they're all brought into it in various ways. One of the characters that I particularly liked, I don't know if liked's the right word, but is a very dodgy drug-addicted lawyer, but he played by Eddie Izzard.
Oh, cool. I like Eddie.
Yeah, it was just, it was good. And there was lots of twists and turns. So if one of them I had my suspicions about from early on, but that's not to say like I'm particularly perceptive. I'm not at all. There was loads of other little twists and turns that I didn't catch on to at all. So I got that satisfaction of like being a little bit right, but also being surprised. So yeah, I just really enjoyed it, and I recommend it as a good way to pass a few hours. It was lovely.
Cool, sounds good. Yeah,
I say lovely, it's quite twisted, but very good.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a pretty much an all-star cast, to be fair, as well.
Yeah, the lady who played Megan, I thought she was great. Name now.
It's Kush Jumbo.
Great. And what's he called? Nesbitt, wasn't it? Yeah,
James Nesbitt.
James Nesbitt. yeah, cool. Really good. It was good.
Oh, cool.
And I seem to like everything that's like a... his books adapted kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, it was great. What have you got to recommend, Kelly?
Well, I'm gonna go, mine's also a TV program, but it's kind of like a dramatization of a true crime case. So it's called The Girl from Plainville. It's an 8-parter and it's available on Hulu at the moment. So it's inspired by the true story of Michelle Carter's like texting suicide case.
Oh, so that is such an interesting case.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge case, made headlines across the world. So in 2017, Michelle Carter was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter for encouraging her boyfriend, Conrad Roy III, to kill himself. She was 17 and he was 18, and it was primarily over text messages that had been sent between the pair. So like I said, it's an 8-part series, and it explores Michelle's relationship with Conrad and the events that led to his death, and as I mentioned, later her conviction for involuntary manslaughter. So it stars Elle Fanning, Colton Ryan as Conrad, and Chloe Savini, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right,
I'm not sure.
As like his mum. It's really good. I've got to say, it is a bit of a like a slow burn or slow paced to a point, but I think that's because it focuses heavily like on their relationship up to the moment that he ended his life.
Yeah.
But it is very good, and it's I think that sort of focusing on their relationship and their history that kind of makes it worth watching. Like, it explains more about the possible reasons why this happened, and it feels like very personal and more in depth than your usual crime dramatization. It does focus really heavily on like the depiction of teen mental health, you know, very complicated emotions and like sort of that struggle with transitioning to adulthood. A lot of focus on depression, medication and unhealthy sort of codependent bonds. As I said, it's got, well, probably, I don't know if I did say that, but it has got mixed reviews. So again, possibly because of that slow moving pace of some of the episodes, but if you want an accurate deep dive into a case that is well acted and also goes through all of those controversial texts between the pair, then I would recommend it. I feel like it presents the facts quite clearly.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'd really enjoy watching it because, well, it makes me sound really weird, enjoy watching it, but we're all here for the same reason. It's a case that I find really interesting, and I do have opinions on that I don't think are particularly sort of the consensus.
Yeah, I think you would really enjoy it because it really made me think differently about the case, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is a dramatisation, but it does focus, like, it's very fact-based. There are some sort of like, I want to say like musical numbers and dream sort of sequences as well. It is a dramatization, but I think Elle Fanning, how she portrays Michelle Carter, is like, she does such a good job. It's excellent performance. So yeah, whether or not you've got an interest in the case, I think you should give it a go for sure.
Cool. Brilliant. Okay, what is my next one? Okay, my next one is a book that I had for a while, like on my radar of books I wanted to read, but one of my friends said that she'd been reading it and it had been making her really mad.
Oh.
So I was like, all right. And I downloaded the audio so I could just listen to it when I was doing stuff and got proper into it. So it is a non-fiction. Mm-hmm. And it is by Caroline Criado Perez. I hope I'm saying that right. And it's called Invisible Women. And it's a book exploring the ways that society and the world in general is largely built for and by men.
Oh.
And the way that that leads to big sort of gender data gaps and the way that affects our lives without us even realizing or knowing.
Oh, wow.
And I enjoyed sort of the angle that it came from because it wasn't like I expected it to be very much like all men are bastards, and it wasn't at all, which was nice. It kind of came from the perspective that there is this huge, like, basically it's saying that it isn't, this book isn't focusing on like discrimination against women as like a conscious thought process that people have. It's about the unconscious biases that exist. Mm-hmm. And exist in like society and like children from a really young age, and the way it's ingrained in our society to think that women are a certain way and men are a certain way, and sort of how that gets into our subconscious. So, for instance, I have written some statistics down. Things like only 13% of non-human children's characters are female. So if you think like Sonic the Hedgehog, Mario, Bowser, Luigi, You have to go a while before you get to like Tails and Princess Peach.
Yeah.
And they tend to be portrayed as like in either silent roles or roles that are waiting to be rescued. But this sort of like infiltrates loads of like media that's aimed at children. So from a young age, the representation of women is kind of downplayed. In movies and television, women only appear in 17% of crowd scenes, 28% of speaking roles go to female actors. And even when a female actress has a speaking role, they will receive 3 times less screen time than a man of a similar role.
Wow.
And just like little things like that, like how it impacts us, it made me sort of look at things differently. For instance, my friend who recommended this to me was saying that all the images of how to use gym equipment, it's a man in the picture and stuff like that. It was dead interesting. But this sort of assuming that the average person is male then goes to affect things like the design of PPE and safety equipment. There was a really interesting chapter on uniform for the military is seen as unisex, and where people might be like, yeah, it's unisex, that's like really fair, it's not, because unisex is designed on a male frame, so it doesn't accommodate things like women who have like larger boobs will be wearing the same length bulletproof vest as a man, so it'll be brought up further. Like, things should be designed for men and for women because they are different, and denying that difference is discriminatory. Do you get what I'm on about?
Yeah, like an invisible bias, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very interesting. I think it also would like expand to race as well, no doubt.
Yeah.
As well as that, you know, so that sounds bad.
There was something about VR headsets are designed on white males. So they're never going to fit a female the same because of the distances. People of different ethnicities have sort of different shaped faces, and this sort of a white male represents all is not fair. And like, yeah, the way cars are designed, women are more likely to die in a car crash than a man, because all the safety features are on your average male, not your average female. When drugs are tested and like trialed, they are trialed working towards the best result on your standard male.
Wow.
It's mad. And a chapter that I found really like fucking yes, this is so right, was about antidepressants. And this like the belief that women are more likely to suffer from mental health, like bad mental health, than men is like very flawed data, because what is actually true is women are more likely to be prescribed antidepressants if they go to the doctors with physical symptoms, because women complaining about pain or discomfort is seen as hysteria or stress rather than looking at the actual symptoms. There was cases mentioned in it where a woman had endometriosis, and she was going to the doctors, blood loss, pain, and they were like, oh, it's stress and anxiety.
Wow. That's, I feel like I really want to read this book.
It's really good. And it isn't, not that you couldn't handle something heavy, but it isn't very heavy. Like, you don't have to like know a lot of very sort of psychology specific words or phrases. You don't have to get a dictionary out. Really digestible and written in a way that you can just like take it all in, and it's quite fast paced. So yeah, really, really good. But yeah, there was lots on like the crazy woman trope the hysterical woman. Women are less likely to be prescribed medication for pain because it's generally thought that women have a much lower pain threshold. So when they're speaking of being in pain, people will be like, oh, you're not really, like, you'll be okay. Whereas if a man complains of pain, they're like, oh my God, he must be in so much pain.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, it wasn't shocking to hear that. Like, I'm down, I believe it. But hearing sort of the facts and the studies behind it was really good. Yeah, really well written. Thoroughly recommend. It's dead cheap as well. It's one of those books that's sold really well, so you can get it second hand for a few quid.
Bonus.
But yeah, completely. Yeah, loved it as a book. Really good.
Oh, it does sound fascinating. Yeah, I look forward to reading that.
I only finished it last night as well, so proper love it. Go on. What is your next?
Okay, well, mine is it's a rewatch actually for me, perhaps aptly. It's a show that features some excellent female actresses in lead roles. So it's more like they're the focus and the blokes are the supporting cast. So it's, like I say, a rewatch. It's from quite a while ago, but it's currently available on Disney. So, as well as Channel 4 OD, and it's a police procedural called No Offence. So there's three series of it. It's set in Manchester, so quite a lot of recognisable locations. It's from the writer of Shameless, and it stars Joanna Scanlon, Elaine Cassidy, Alexandra Roach, Paul Ritter, and one for you, Will Meller.
Yes, I've just googled it because when you were speaking about it, I was like, it sounds familiar. I have watched it a long time ago.
Yeah, I loved it when it was originally on. I absolutely, like, thoroughly enjoyed it. Sadly,
oh God, a load of it's just come back to me in my head. Oh, it was really good.
Yeah, it's so good. I kind of, like, I always wanted another season of it, but sadly it got axed at season 3. I've no idea why, because it's fucking brilliant. And I'd kind of forgotten about it. And then I was just looking for something to watch, and I was just flicking through Disney, and I thought, oh my God, oh yeah, give that a go. So I've completely rewatched all of it, and I just remembered how great it was. Just fantastic characters, brilliant, like, writing. Can't recommend it enough. So if you like a police procedural program, and you're looking for something, you know, that's funny, like, it's sad, exciting storylines, great characters, then I would highly recommend it. Give it a go. No Offence.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. You've proper brought that back into my consciousness.
Just the character, like, honestly, it's one of those where it's really hard-hitting sort of subject matter, but it's done so well. Like, it's very dark comedy, you know, but it's never sort of like, it never cheapens itself. It's just consistently excellent. Yeah, highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go, short and sweet, but very much worth a watch.
Fantastic. Well, my last recommendation is going to be short, because there was a few other things that I was going to recommend, but this sort of jumped the list of stuff that I think people should be, even though I have not watched that much of it yet. I only discovered it a couple of days ago. But it's a YouTube channel called The Behavior... I can't pronounce it. Behavioral Arts. Behavioral.
Yeah, it's a tough word, that.
It's on YouTube. And it is essentially this guy, he's like majorly accredited, he's done work for Netflix, NBC News, Fox, he's American. He has all the qualifications you could want to back up what he's saying, but he does body language analysis of trials.
Oh, brilliant.
Started watching it because he was doing them off the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
That I've got all sorts of emotions about, and conflicting feelings, and
Same.
And all sorts. But his analysis was really good. And like, yes. And like, it was enjoyable to watch, but also quite insightful. And then I started watching some of his others where, like, horrific cases. And he's got like police interview footage, and he's just showing you what these little cues in body language could indicate. And it's really interesting. And the videos are only quite short, like 10 minutes or something. So I think the like perfect little true crimey snapshots, really interesting. Obviously, he's a very intelligent man, but he comes across like super approachable as well. So yeah, the behavioural arts on YouTube. Yeah,
oh, I'll definitely give that a go.
Have a little watch. Like I've been.
I love like body language analysis. You know, like and how you can tell if people are lying and things like that. So I'll definitely give that a go.
Yeah, really good. Like I said, short and sweet, but I'm really enjoying it. So.
Brilliant. Okay, well, my last one is season two of something that I recommended quite a while ago, and it's The Flight Attendant. So I raved about season one of the show. It's on Now TV.
Yeah.
It's based on a book by, I'm probably going to massacre this name, Christopher A. Beaujolais' novel. It's really good. The story, like the first season, centered on character Cassie, who's a flight attendant who is an alcoholic. And one morning she wakes up in like the wrong hotel with a dead man, and she's no idea of what happened. And because she drinks quite a lot, she finds it really hard to piece together, you know, like what happened, and like finds it hard to trust her memory, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So she begins to wonder if she's actually the killer. I thoroughly enjoyed the first season, so obviously going to give season two a go. And now we find like Cassie's like living a sober life in Los Angeles, and she's still a flight attendant, but she also works part-time for the CIA. And she's on like an overseas assignment for the CIA when she witnesses a murder, and she becomes sort of like wrapped up in another big case. I'm 4 episodes in at the moment, and it is quite different to the first one from the first season, but I'm still enjoying it and I will keep watching it. So if you have watched season one, I definitely think you should give season two a go. I find it really funny and, you know, quite madcap at times, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, I know, it sounds good. I like the premise of it, definitely.
Yeah. I've not watched this yet, and I was kind of thinking, oh, if anyone has watched it, then let me know what you think. But there is another couple of like dramatizations of true crime cases out there at the moment. So there's the scripted version of The Staircase. Have you seen that?
I did watch it, the documentary.
Yeah.
But honestly, I felt it was really long and I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, do you know, I felt similarly, really. I can't say that I enjoyed it. I find the case very interesting. But
yeah, it was just too long.
Sometimes I think Netflix, you know, does that, though. They do a documentary in, like, really long-winded way, and it could be done in, like, half an hour.
Definitely.
So there is a dramatisation of The Staircase that's on Now at the moment. Yeah. I believe it stars Colin Firth and Toni Collette. So I haven't watched it, but I am hearing good things, so I'm going to give that a go. Cool. But the other one is on Disney, and it's called The Dropout.
Right. So
it's the story of Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. Have you heard of that, Kay?
No.
I thought you might quite like it because it's a bit of a high market swindle. The case has like been widely covered. There's several books about it and a couple of documentaries. But again, like The Staircase, it's getting the scripted treatment. And it's Amanda Seyfried is playing she's playing the main character, the tech CEO Elizabeth Holmes. And she claimed that she had like revolutionized medical blood testing.
Right.
But spoiler alert, it was all a big fake. And the trial has just ended and she was found guilty. So I'm definitely going to give it a go. I really like Amanda Seyfried, so that's like worth it anyway. But it's a really interesting case, like how she managed to fool so many people, get loads of investors, etc. And yeah, so.
Yay, I love stuff like that. Yeah,
I thought you might like that.
I actually found out recently about a case of someone who was committing art fraud and got away with it for ages, and they're very local to us.
Oh.
So that's going to be something. It's going to be something I talk about in the future.
Excellent. Look forward to that.
No.
Well, like we say, a nice short and sweet episode of recommendations for you guys. If any of you have got any recommendations for us, please do drop us a message or email us, because we'd love to hear from you. Yeah. And the same like goes for cases as well. If there's any cases that you want us to cover, just drop us a line and get in touch.
Yeah. Do you know it's me next week, isn't it?
I was going to say, I know it's you, babe, next week.
Yeah, I'm going to do the very sad and tragic case of Rachel McLean next week.
Fab, I'm looking forward to hearing all about that.
There we go. Yeah, sorry, like, what are you doing next week?
Yeah, I was saying that. I was like, not much, babe, it's all on you.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, so I hope you all keep safe.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week.
We will indeed.
Bye.